Tax Resolution Ninja Show, where we feature the top experts on all things tax to help you understand, navigate, and resolve all your tax-related issues. Now, let's get started with the show.
Hi, I'm Alan Rolnick, the host of the Tax Resolution Ninja Show, where we feature guests and talk about the issues from all walks of life, from taxes to health, to economics, to personal finance, sales and marketing, and unemployment, and many, many other things. I have with me Dr. Jeremy Weiss from Rice 25. He's going to interview me today. So we've decided to flip the script. Instead of me interviewing him, he's going to interview me.
Alan, thanks for having me. I appreciate it. And this topic is, you know, I don't know, morbid, kind of crazy, but like the topic we're going to talk today is if you get a letter.
Scary.
Scary. Yeah. Scary is the right word. Because, you know, when people are scared and have a lot going on is when people call you, right? They get a letter from the IRS, and we're going to talk about, let's say you get a letter from the IRS threatening to seize your assets or to seize your assets itself. What do you do? But before we go into that, this episode is brought to you by Tri-State Tax Resolution. So, you know, people call you, Niall Allen, when the IRS comes knocking, and the scenario is maybe they have back taxes. The IRS continues to threaten them. If you know someone who's experiencing any of these things, he has over 39 years experience doing this. So, and by the way, they probably won't tell you they're experiencing it. So the common situation Alan sees if someone's going through a divorce or a major health crisis, or they're in debt from medical care, losing a job. Those are all the scenarios. And you can check it out, tristatetaxresolution.com, and email them. They also, I think they have a three-step guide to getting rid of the IRS, and also check out more episodes of the podcast. So someone calls you, Alan, and they said, I got a letter. The IRS wants to seize assets. What do you tell them?
Oh, not to panic.
That's easier said than done.
Yes, it is. I'll tell them that.
When someone says, don't panic, that makes me, makes me want to panic.
don't panic. Okay. Probably say to them that I've been in this situation also many years ago. After going through that experience, I can understand why you're scared and frightened, and you're wondering whether the roof's going to fall in. It's not going to fall in, but we have to act on this very, very quick. So the first thing I would do is I would get the copy of the letter to see what's in it, what they're seizing, what they're allegedly going to seize, and then have the person sign a power of attorney so I could speak to the Internal Revenue Service, and then we would try to get a hold placed on the collection process. And there are a number of ways that we could do this. We could do a form 911, which involves the taxpayer advocate's office. Explain the situation to them that people have no money. They're in dire straits. They can't afford to have their assets seized. And then the taxpayer advocate would see that collection process stops. The other way to do this is to initially get them into an installment agreement where they start to pay off the debt, and then once that is in place, the collection process will stop, and then we can proceed to figure out what the best option for that client is to get them out of the mess.
Is there a time frame?
Generally, if you got the notice for levy, that probably will happen within the next 30 to 45 days. And once the levy occurs, the bank or the brokerage.
Alan, I think that was the IRS calling, so we should have picked it up. No, I'm just kidding.
they don't call anymore like they used to.
There's probably there's scams.
Many years ago, they would actually get on the phone and call you, and try to get information out of you.
Are there scams that people say they're from the IRS?
Yeah, they say from IRS. You got to be careful with that. If you're not sure, either call the IRS directly, but don't use the phone number that was given that the person calls from. If you get on the IRS website, they will tell there are numbers that you can call them.
So they won't typically email you either, or will they?
They don't email. No.
Okay.
Email is totally out of the question. If someone sends you an email and says from the IRS, that's not true. They're not doing that. They're not doing that. Some of the states do. The IRS, no. So if you get a call and you're not sure, give the IRS a call themselves, or call me, or call some other tax practitioner, and they'll be able to help determine whether it's a phony or not. But getting back to the levies, so if one of the ways to stop the levy is to get the client into an installment agreement, that'll stop collection. There won't be any need to levy your bank account. And then from there, we can decide what the best solution to your problem is.
I mean, it's good to know, Alan, because I mean, back on the scam thing, I mean, a lot of people get scammed when people call or email and they say they're from a certain organization, right. Especially right. That is one where people are like, well, I better respond because the IRS. So it's good to know they won't call you. They won't email you. So if you do get something, it's probably someone trying to scam you
right. And
get your social security right. Number or other information from you.
Right. The other thing is you have to be careful of using the letters that's sent in the mail sometimes. Sometimes, they grab a hold of the IRS and, you know, the insignia, the logo.
Yeah.
And it actually looks like it's coming from the government, but it's not, and if you, for some reason, you get an email that says it's from the IRS, check to see where the email was sent from. You know, generally, if they were going to send it an email, it would be from IRS.gov. If you don't see that, then, it's a phony.
Yeah.
But they, as of right now, they are not emailing taxpayers. Because they don't, I don't think they, I'm trying to think if they even have your email addresses. I'm not even sure that they do.
Well, also, they probably get a flood of emails from people. They right. Have to like respond to all these inbound emails right. If they start emailing people.
Right. I know that they're setting up a system where if you go onto the website, that you'll be able to respond to notices that they're doing. But,
got it.
But they are not contacting anybody, not that I'm aware of as of right now. They are not contacting anybody by email.
So you've taken them through a process. Someone who has gotten one of these letters, you kind of walk through what you would have to do to handle it, how it works, the timing of it, the levy. What else do people ask you or would be helpful to know in this process?
Well, obviously they want to know what I'm going to charge them.
Does that depend on
what? In my case, I have a set fee schedule.
Okay.
Okay, so there's no hanky, there's no jostling or anything like that. The fee is what the fee is, and that's just business.
Yeah, I figured I don't know if it depends. Are harder cases than others that takes you longer, or are all of them, no matter what the situation, about the same?
No, it depends. You know, some cases are harder because there's more of a process that you have to go through.
Yeah.
Some cases are very simple. I mean, like I had one case where all I did was get on the phone. We settled it right then and there.
Yeah. And so you can kind of estimate based on that initial call, how long it's going to take and the complexity of it, and then give them the proper, set fee to that.
Right. And then, it depends on the work that actually has to be done. Maybe some adjustment in the fee schedule. If stuff occurs along the way that we didn't anticipate would happen. But generally the fee that I quote at the initial meeting is fake. Very rarely does it change.
And besides that, are any other questions that you get along the process as it's happening?
I think part of it is how long is this going to take? And right now it's going to be at least a year because the IRS staff is not in their offices. Everybody's still working from home, regardless of what the, what's going on with the vaccines and stuff like that. Everybody, government, as far as I know, has not called the workers back into the office yet.
Got it. Alan, first of all, thanks for going through these scary scenarios with us. And if people have questions, they can go to tristatetaxresolution.com, email you, or check out more episodes of the podcast. And Alan, thanks so much for having me.
Jeremy, thanks for interviewing me today, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks for listening to the Tax Resolution Ninja Show. Be sure to click subscribe to get updates on our latest episodes.